Let's pray. God, we thank you just for who you are, Lord, and just what you're doing, and just the amazing, amazing things that you're doing just around the world. God, thank you that we get to be a part of your kingdom, and that your kingdom is here. And Lord God, you are active and present in our lives. And Lord, we want to see more. We want to hear you more. We want to feel you more. And God, we just want to experience the truth of who you are, to really live it. And God, I just pray that right now that you would release in us more of a freedom to pursue your heart, Lord, to just pursue you, to get to know you on a deeper level. And I just pray for everybody connected with our family, Lord, with Rev, that you would take us deep. Lord God, that you would take us deep, that we would experience you in not just new, fresh ways, but Lord God, just with a depth, Lord God, that we can really hold on to. Lord, there's so much pulling us in so many directions, and Lord, we want to be grounded in you, deep, deep roots in you. And I just pray that, and I speak that over our community, that we would walk into a season where we would go deep with you. And God, we would also walk into a season we would be able to step out in faith. Lord God, that we would walk into a season where we would be willing to experience you in whatever way you desire, Lord. And I thank you that you continue to move. And despite our weaknesses and despite our limitations, God, you aren't limited. And God, I just thank you that you are faithful, and you're faithful, and you're faithful within our process, Lord, to continue to take us the next step with you. We love you so much, and we're just in awe that we get to do this life with you. God, I know all of us, like, we'd be in a much different place in our lives without you. And I fear to think what that would look like for me. So God, thank you. Just bless this time, God. I want you to be seen for who you are. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It really is. It's good to be back. It's good to be here. I'm going to share stories, and I'm going to share just part of my life, like what the last really like 4.5 weeks have been for me. And in me sharing is not like, look what I can do, you know, it's really like God's moving, and I am so excited about it. Like, I saw things that I didn't expect. Every time that I go to Uganda, and this is my 7th trip there. So for those that don't know, like, 2008, I wanted to go, and God highlighted Uganda, and I went for 3 weeks, and just fell in love with it, and they had a program, and I went back for a year, and just lived in this community. It was beautiful, and half of it was going through this training of how to work with orphans, because that's the ministry that I was involved with, but in the process of that, it was about getting healed and whole myself, and that's what they walk people through, so that we can love better. And so that beginning in Uganda started me on my journey of healing and wholeness. And though I've known God my entire life, it was that that place, it was Uganda, where God started to set me free. And so it's really near and dear to my heart. But the relationships, what's amazing is that over 9 years, every time the relationships just go deeper and deeper. And I always think, like, oh gosh, it couldn't get better than that year. It couldn't get better than that year. And he just continues to blow my mind. And a few years back, when I got back after living there for a year, I really did not want to be here. I had no desire to be in Utah. I did not like it. I was like, I would cry. Like, I wanted to be back there. Like, I was just waiting for God to send me back to Uganda. And finally got to this place where it's like I had to give it up, and I had to let go of it and put my roots down. And I'm so glad that I did. And then he gave it back, and he's like, yeah, you can go, but I want you here as well. And when I'm there, like, honestly, I'm fully there. And when I'm here, I'm fully here. But I love that I get to have two homes. And when I tell people, like, I'm going there to spend time with family, they're like, what do you mean, you know? And it really is. Like, they're my younger brothers and sisters, and I have a Ugandan mother, and she speaks very little English, but when we spend time together, like, I love her I love her to pieces. And she, I mean, she's only 50 years old. She's not like that much older than me, but she's my mother. She's my Ugandan mom. And these relationships that I have and these people that I've watched grow up, when I lived there for a year, I started a music group that started leading worship in the church that we were part of and started doing worship nights and stuff. And one of the young guys is now like pursuing music professionally and they've written music and just watching them pursue their lives. And a lot of them moved out from the village and they're in the city. And so now they're being a part of other ministries and they're now serving. And so because of that, there were doors open to me that have never been opened. Like I was able to go and speak in places that I never even thought I'd be able to in Uganda. And so that's what I'm going to kind of talk about is being able to seize the moment that God provides for us and step into it. Because there was a moment I did not want to step into it. And out in the village, there was a young girl named Claire. And I stayed with her family for a night. And they have a chapel for their school. It's a secondary school. And everybody's required to go to the chapel, you know. So I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking like 20, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just her class. I didn't know that everybody was required to go. And so I'm like, okay, well, where do they hold it? Oh, the cathedral across the street. Okay, how many? She's like, well, there's about 600-700 students. And I'm like, oh. And my first thing was like, I don't really want to have to come back. And what if I can't get a car to come back? Because it's like 30 minutes away from the village and I don't have transportation, all this stuff. So I'm talking to somebody there at New Hope is the organization that I'm with. And he's like, oh, you can borrow my car. Like all these excuses that I kind of had, like I was trying to not go. I really was trying not to go. And I got there and like I got to talk about identity, like who people are in Christ. And I got to talk about them being priests and kings and children of God. And I asked people, I said, raise your hand if you know that you can go talk to God. Nobody's hand went up. You know, like there's a lot of people there that really believe they have to have this pastor, this priest in between, a go-between, right? And so this identity in Uganda has been broken, the true identity of who they are. And let me just paint a picture of how Ugandan churches are. A lot of Ugandan churches are becoming, some of them are becoming these mega churches, right? And these mega churches, these pastors are wealthy, very wealthy. And part of their message is the more you give, the bigger your blessing is going to be. So it really becomes this thing of basically you're paying for a miracle and you need that person to pray for you to get that miracle, either physical or a blessing in your life. They've also started to follow what's called The Secret. Anybody familiar with The Secret? Oprah Winfrey's pushing it. And it's very like just happy thoughts, positive thoughts. Think good about yourself and you're going to succeed, right? Okay. That doesn't work for the woman that's in the shack with three children and has very little to eat, right? It works for people who have an opening in their lives to step into that. And so it's very like, you know, I guess you're not doing something right if you're, you know, you're not positive enough. Well, I'm sorry, some people are living in complete poverty. You know, are you going to actually step out and help them or just tell them to have happy thoughts, right? But this secret thing has left out Jesus. And so there, it's getting just very mixed, like in these churches and these pastors, it's become like, oh, that's a healing pastor. So if you need healing, go to that. Or this is like the prophetic guy. And a lot of the prophetic stuff that's happening is really out of anger. And there's just this like, kind of like, ooh, how dirty your sin is and all of this stuff. So that's what these young people are seeing, right? And they're seeing the Holy Spirit move, but they're seeing it move in a very, move in an abuse, like it's being used abusively, right? And then there's other people who are like, we don't want the Holy Spirit because that looks like that. And so there's not this open door for people to just see God in their everyday lives. Like that's what's missing, the power of God in people's everyday lives. And so these young people that I know now that are involved with these ministries led me to be able to speak about identity. And so the first one was at that chapel and there was like 600-700 students and I sang some songs and one song I sang in their language, Luganda, and they loved that I was singing in their language. And people are like, oh, is this your first time to Uganda? You know, everybody thinks that this is like my first time. I'm just coming over. So trying to explain to people, no, like, I love Uganda. I've been coming for, you know, 9 years. And like, oh, and it opens up something more. People are like, oh, wow, that's a sacrifice, you know? And so it allows people to like, they trust me a little bit more. But because people trust these young men and women who are involved with these ministries, I've had these open doors. So one of the open doors that I had was to go and speak at a rehab. And so it has these men, ages from 15 or 16, I think was the youngest, up into their 40s. And there's about 12 guys going through this program. And the way, when they go into the program, it's a year-long program. And it's a Christian organization. But one of my younger brothers, he is volunteering there. And so he handles devotions in the morning. So he gets them up like at 5 o'clock in the morning and makes them like do devotions. That's his job. But because of that, he has free room and board to be able to go to school. So God's like opened up doors for him and like blessed him. But he's like, hey, will you come and speak? And I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm really going to speak about. And so I go and I just decided to keep speaking about identity. And I wanted people to realize that they can hear from God. Because what's happening, and even here in America, but what's happening is that you've got to go to somebody that has that power, right? And I honor people for what they carry. There are people who have healing ministries. Awesome. There are people who walk in the prophetic. But all of that should release in us to be able to do it, right? It should empower us to say like, oh, if he can do it, so can I. Not, I need him to have access to the kingdom, right? And so I was speaking about that. And when in the big 600, I didn't do any activations. But with these men, like we were sitting there and I was doing some music and I said, I want you to practice hearing from God. You know, who feels like they've heard from God before? And some people raise their hands. I said, well, I want to walk through some things and you just asking questions. So those of you who've been through Encounter, we use this Encounter some, but just asking questions like, what's the lie I believe? What's the truth? And having these little interactions with God. And people who have never before like got images and like kind of these visions and like words, and then they would share them out. And it was just, people were like, whoa, like, you know, I didn't want to be like, and then God says for you, and God says for you, and God says for you, and like that it has to be my mouthpiece, right? So I spoke with them and spent some time. And after that, I went away, and like next week, I was like, well, maybe I have some time. So I was talking to my little brother, Wilbur, and I said, he's like, can you come back? Like, they were really blessed by that. So I went back, and this time I wanted to talk to them about God being able to use anybody. And so I'm talking to them about like Peter, and I'm talking about my life, like how I was really broken, you know, and just didn't know who I was. I didn't like who I was. And all the words that have been spoken over my life and things that God's healed. And so I shared that, and I shared about my brother Aaron. I shared about Tommy and just these people who God's using today, and then went into the Bible as well. Like God using broken people to do incredible things, right? And so, and then I felt like God had some words for people. And stepping out like in a new situation is kind of like, okay, how are these people going to receive this? You know, and I don't want it to just be about me. And so me sharing my brokenness and what God's brought me through is really to say like, hey, like I'm just an ordinary person. And people are like, oh, he's a pastor. And I'm like, yeah, pastor of 25. You know, like I don't want them to think I've got this mega church and like I'm bringing this power, you know, to like Uganda and that they need me. Like I want to empower people to walk in kingdom, right? And so I had a few words for some people. And then I had a word for this young guy that was sitting over here. And I said, I'm going to step out in faith on this. And I wanted them to kind of see me do this. And I wanted my little brother, Wilbur, to see this as well. And so I said, hey, I want to ask you, do you have a brother or a friend who's been seriously injured and you blame yourself, right? I mean, that's a heavy thing to just kind of put out there. But I felt like I was supposed to. And so I put it out there and he just kind of shakes his head. And I said, God doesn't blame you. Like he doesn't blame you at all. Like he's not holding that against you. And anyway, and so I kind of like moved on from that and was just speaking. I spoke just a few words to people. And I said, I'm going to be here for a while. I didn't speak for long, but if people want to talk, like I'm available. So six different guys are like, hey, well, can I have some time with you? Can I have some time with you? And particularly this guy, Moses, comes and he's like, hey, can I have some time with you? I spent 50 minutes with him. And his story resonated with my story and what God's healed in me with my just confusion with just who I was. And it really resonated with him. But he started off and he's like, when you said that, he's like, he was kind of coerced. This is not everyone's story. So I'm not putting this out as everyone's story. But he, at 13, didn't know who he was. And these men, in Uganda, the gay culture is kind of predatory. And so they're trying to get young men into this gay, like, movement. It's different than it is here, okay? So I'm just putting that out there. Like, what? He didn't know who he was. He wasn't like, oh, as a little kid, I think I'm gay, right? He had no idea who he was. He felt abandoned. His parents died when he was very young. He was told by an aunt that he was, like, worthless. I mean, he just had no idea who he was, right? So he has all this brokenness. And he's 17 years old, at 13, goes, like, decides he's gay and starts to have relationships. His parents don't know. His family doesn't know. He's walking through this. He gets this other young kid involved who then gets AIDS and right now currently is in the hospital dying. So when I said, do you have a friend or close brother, that's who it was. And he feels totally responsible, like he's killed this person. And I said, you were broken. You had no idea what you were doing. God doesn't hold that against you. And there was just like, and so we walked through some stuff and he said, well, hearing your story, like I just feel safe with you. He's like, I've never told this stuff to anybody. Nobody knows this. Like nobody. And so he starts to open up about being, you know, like gay. And he's like, I've done a lot of stuff. And I said, do you feel like that's really you? He said, no, I don't. But like, that's all I know now. And like, just feeling very confused. And so we're walking through some stuff and I do a mini encounter there. So those of you who have been through encounter, we talk about like spiritual strongholds. And so we went through fear and we went through sexual immorality because for him, it's taken something, you know, that God has designed for us and it's twisted it. And I'm not saying this is everybody's story, right? But I could feel that there was something there that had been like, that had him, right? That was just kind of, there was a controlling thing there and it was making him feel worthless and withdrawn. And so I said, you know, let's pray through this. And so we walked through the process that we do at the encounter, like rejecting, the spirit and then closing doors and stuff. And so as we're going through, we look at people in the eye and he's looking at me and I could see that there was something happening. I said, what's going on? I said, I just got a severe headache. And then he's like, and then now my eyes are burning. And I said, okay, relax, like you're here. And so I'm praying for him. And I said, we're gonna keep like you casting out like this spirit, like you don't wanna be a part of that anymore. And so we're working on that and it's kind of getting a little bit more severe. And I'm like, I'm not gonna give up. We're gonna keep praying. And all of a sudden his eyes are kind of like shifty. All of a sudden they go clear. And he's just like, he breathes. And he's like, oh my gosh. I said, what happened? He said, something just like came in and all the pain went. He said, I have not felt this peace my entire life. And he's just like, oh my gosh, like I feel free. I feel free. And there was just something so genuine about him. Like, and so I checked, the day before I left, I'm like, I've got to go back and see these guys. And so I went back and specifically him. But I told him before I left that one day, and I said, if this was my only reason for coming to Uganda, you were worth it. And he's just like, thank you. Like, he gave me the biggest hug because he had no idea who he was. He's never shared with anybody. He felt such shame. And he was really brought into something that wasn't who he was. But because he's like, I think people, because I was smaller and kind of like, just weak. I mean, he was just kind of so confused. He wanted to belong and he was brought into this, but that's not who he was. Okay. And so I came back Sunday to say goodbye, the day I'm leaving. And I'm like, I've got to go back there one more time. And so I rearranged things. I canceled with somebody else. I'm like, I got to go back. And I made sure that I talked with him and I said, how's it going? And he said, oh my gosh, it's amazing. He said, I just realized like I have power. I never knew that before. And he's just getting this like smile. I said, oh, well, what's happening? He said, well, even last night, like I had this just messed up dream. I just, you know, and he said, I woke up from the dream, a very sexual dream back with his past. He said, I woke up and I said, you have no power over me. You need to leave in the name of Jesus. And he said, I turned over and went back to sleep and I was totally at peace. And there were other times that he's spoken that over himself. And he said, every time it leaves, he's like, it has no power over me. He's like, I just feel so alive. And he just like, thank you. And I told him, I said, I'm going back, and I know I'm across the ocean, but when he gets out, he can't have technology right now, but he's like, I'm like, when you get out, I'm here for you, but I want you to find somebody here you can trust. So I'm hoping that my friend, like Wilbur, will be that for him. But just this, like, there was a couple other things with some people that took place, and it was like, oh my gosh. And so Wilbur, he just said, he's different, like, and he's been now asking me questions and just more hungry. He wanted to be seen. His parents are actually missionaries, and I talked with him, and he's like, I'm adopted, but I don't feel a part of the family. So he's missing that. He's lost his family, like all of this stuff, you know, so confused. And God came in and said, like, hey, I see that this is your pain, And because I shared my heart, I see this, but this is who I say that you are. And like, it was just such incredible stuff lifted. And so there's this other guy as well, and I'm there. He's like, hey, can I talk with you? He's like, I played soccer and I injured my foot. I'm like, okay. And this guy isn't all there. I think he's done some hard drugs. And so, and Wilbur told me, he's like, he's not all there, you know? Like, I mean, but he's really like was hungry like for stuff. And I was like, okay. So he's like, will you pray for my foot? And I injured my foot. And absolutely. So I'm praying for his foot. I lay my hand on his foot and I said, well, how's it feel? I like to check in. He's like, well, the pain on the bottom is gone, but now the heel is still paining. I pray again. Pain is gone. I said, well, walk around. He's walking around. He's like, it's gone. He's like, it's totally gone. And he's just like, okay. And he told me that his mom's foot was hurt. And he said, will you pray for her? And I said, no, you will. He's like, what do you mean? I said, I want you to pray. So he prays and he has this, you know, prayer for like healing for his mom's foot. And afterwards he's like, that's the first time I've ever prayed for somebody like that. And so there were just these moments of like, almost like shifting, being like, you have access, right? So I talked with Wilbur a lot about the prophetic, and he watched me give words. When I first went to the rehab place, even before I taught, I had gone to see where Wilbur lived. And we saw that, met this guy, Andrew, and I just said, hey, I see a sock you with like a ball. I don't know if this means anything to you, but I just feel like God saw you. He knows your path, like your desire, and he knows the pain in your heart. I didn't really know if it meant anything. And he's like, actually, soccer was a huge thing. And my dad said that wasn't important enough. Focus on my studies. That was kind of taken away from me. And then I just had this discussion with him and prayed with him. And afterwards, Wilbur's like, that kind of freaked me out. Like, it seems simple to me, like saying it, but he's like, that freaked me out. It's like you knew him, but I didn't tell you anything about Andrew. And so for him to see the prophetic being used in this like healthy way to encourage. And so I gave Wilbur Sean Bowles' book that we read as a community. And he's reading it, and then he comes back to me, he's asking questions. He's like, what does it mean? Like, what does it mean? Like, the prophetic has to come in love. I've never seen that, except for what you were doing. He's only seen these big people like, oh, like, telling people all their dirt and all their sin and how much they need God, right? And I told him, I said, people know they're dirty. People know they're in pain. People know they're broken. God wants to say the opposite of that. And so training him. So this is really exciting. I told Wilbur, I said, I want you to start stepping out in this. So I just hit him up today and I said, hey, your goal is this next week to get something from God and say it. He told me, he said, I already have a word. I'm giving it tomorrow and I'll let you know how it goes. He's never stepped out in that. He's never stepped out in like encouraging somebody, you know? So like, he's seeing God through me. And one of the things he told me is he said, you know, it's more than just your words. He said, the way you live your life and the way that you love impacts me so much. He's like, you've shown me so much. And he's one of my closest. And like, it was just like, oh my gosh, God's opening up doors and talking about identity with these men, hearing words from, but like going through these deliverance stuff. I didn't have that opportunity before. And I've wanted that. Now, Wilbur, 3 years ago, had his back healed. We were out in the village and I was teaching them about healing. I'm like, God, do you guys know that God can heal? Yeah, we've heard that. We've never seen it, right? I said, okay, who has a problem? And Wilbur's the one that raised his hand and said, my back has been in pain for 5 years. I have just really bad back problems. I said, okay, let's pray for you. So I said, I'm one of the little other kids that were in the family, like come and we're laying hands on him. We pray. How's it? No change. We pray again. How is it? Maybe a little better. Pray a third time. Gone. Like legitimately gone. 3 years later, he still talks about it. And so for him to see himself healed, and then this guy's foot is healed, he's like, oh my gosh, God's moving. They've never seen the real power of the Holy Spirit. They've heard about it. They hear it. They see it on TV, and they see these things that's like kind of these weird big pastors. And I'm not judging those people. Maybe they have good hearts, but it's become kind of crazy, okay? I want them to see that God wants to be a part of just their everyday lives, that he sees them and he knows them and that they have access to his heart, right? So I feel like this time God has stirred to be able to like release in other people and do training. I wasn't even going to go this year. Like that wasn't the plan. Because there was a wedding with Matt and Sarah in England, I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go over across the ocean, go to the wedding and go down there. In England, God did stuff. This young guy who was part of the line comes up to me. He's like, I don't know what it is about you, but like, can I just talk to you? I just feel like I need you to pray for me. And he's a pastor, but he's like, I just haven't been able to talk to somebody about this. And like, God just gave me some stuff for him. Like, it was just, God was opening up these doors. And I'm like, seize the moment. And there were moments that I didn't want to go speak at that high school. And then I was thinking, wait a minute, I'm getting opportunity to speak to 600 people about Jesus. Why would I say no? Right? Like, but my initial thing was like, oh, that's uncomfortable. Like, I don't really know if I want to do that. What's that going to be like? You know? So God just opened up these doors, and they're little. It's just individual people. It's a group of 12. But at that rehab place, this is what happens to them. They try to get guest speakers to come in and talk to them. But once somebody finds out it's just a small little group and they're not teenagers, they decline because it's not worth it for them, right? How big is the group? 12. I think I'm busy. I don't think I have time. And so Wilbur has tried to set up these people to come in, and then they say yes, and then they find out more information, and then he has to tell them they're not coming. So they've had rejection over rejection, and he said that I'm just doing me, right? I just do me. Like, I'm not thinking like, ooh, if I can do it like this, then I'm going to have access to their hearts. Like, I don't think that way. Like, I'm just kind of being me. That I came like this. I came in shorts, right? You don't wear shorts very much as men in Uganda. You wear trousers. You wear, you know, shoes. Like, I went like me, and I just was me. And then I came, and then I spent time with them afterwards. I didn't jet. I was on time, actually early. Like, these things showed them value. Also gave me access to their hearts. And I didn't know that until afterwards. And Wilbur's like, because you did these things, that's one of the reasons that they trusted you. And I'm like, if we just allow God to open up opportunities and we step into them, beautiful, beautiful things take place. So I know I'm jumping around. I'm really excited about it. Are we okay? Like, you guys okay hearing this stuff? Okay. I'm going next year. I've already decided. Like, I love it. But he's also opening up these amazing doors. So a few other of my young brothers, and I'm just going to call them brothers because that's what they are part of this teen ministry in the city. And they're like, hey, you can, like, hey, come. And I was like, okay. I didn't know if I was going to be able to do anything. So I go on there, like, practice day. I'm just sitting there. And they're like, oh, okay. I think you'll lead the worship. Okay. I didn't have any songs. So we're, like, trying to figure it out. 5 minutes before the meeting starts on Saturday, would you mind sharing? Sure. Right? I mean, I made sure I had these with me. Thank God. And these are my, like, notes from all these different messages. And I just shared about identity again. And we talked about, like, them being able to hear God's voice. And people got images and heard God's voice. And people were, like, sharing about it. They're seeing something. And a lot of them said, like, after I led worship, they're like, wow, we've seen a lot of people lead worship, but they just play songs. Like, that was powerful. I'm just being me, but it's something they haven't seen. And I'm not still there right now to be the one doing that. I feel like God's like, okay, now go in part and leave. Let him figure it out. And then he's going to take me back to take him a little bit further. Like, so crazy. But because, like, I built these relationships, and I love going. I love my family there. And so, like, the time that I get to spend there, but God is now opening up doors, and there's fruit because of their lives. And now what they're doing in ministry is because people trust them. They're like, hey, they trust me. So I got another chance to lead worship at that place, teach for just a little 5 minutes, but things that they're like, oh my gosh, we haven't really heard that. What do you mean God doesn't, you know, isn't afraid of sin or didn't turn his back on Jesus at the cross? You know, like, these things that, like, we're starting to know and hear, but they're like, it's mind-blowing because a lot of them don't study the Bible. They hear from these people and these messages and these sermons, and these people have their little twist on it, which a lot of us do, right? And so it's kind of getting off. So Joel is a musician. And so Joel, I've talked to him about him before, and he won this kind of American Idol for Uganda thing. And so he's pursuing music. And we had some amazing just worship times in his living room. And I pulled out my guitar, and I wouldn't, like, play songs. I just would just start to sing and play. And one of the last times we did that, I felt like God wanted me to sing over him. And I just started singing from God's heart to him, that he's proud of him, that he's doing a good job. And I have my eyes closed, and I can hear that he's weeping. I haven't really ever seen, maybe one other time I've seen Joel cry. But he's like crying because what God wanted to say to him, he hasn't been sure. People have judged him for pursuing music. People in the churches have judged him, saying that, oh, he's playing secular music. I wonder if Joel's heart's okay with God, right? He plays love songs at restaurants because that's what they want to hear. That's his job, you know? Like, people start to judge him. And so for me to, for him to hear that from God, he just didn't feel like he was moving forward. I got like this prophetic word for him, like all this different stuff. And he's like crying. God gave him an image of something else that confirmed that. And it was just in these moments of just in relationship that God was flowing. And I think as Christians, oftentimes we're waiting for the next big thing, the next big move. And God's like, are you ready for the next available opportunity? Right? To have it a part of our lives. What I loved about being there too is that when I was out at the organization, almost every time I spent time with people there, they would pray for me at the end. Hey, can I pray for you before you leave? Like, it was just a part of the culture out there. And I'm like, why don't we do that? Why do we feel like it's weird to get in deep conversations or pray for each other just on the spot, right? But it doesn't it feel weird sometimes? Like, you're at meals or like you're leaving or someone's leaving your house. Hey, let's just pray real quick before you go. Maybe you guys do, but I don't think about it sometimes. Or I'm like, I don't know if that would be kind of weird for that person. Like, why not allow our minds and our conversations and our interactions to be consumed with him? Like, to be so immersed in it for that month was so, like, I don't know. It was incredible. That's what I'm there for, yes. But I still had to look for those opportunities. You know, people are still doing their lives. Like, I had to go and, like, seek people out. And sometimes some people I'm really close with, I only have three hours, you know, to go to lunch with them. And, like, we had that moment for the, you know, 4 weeks that I'm there. That's all we could squeeze in together. Where am I going with this in my head? Relationships. I don't think we realize the value of deep relationships and what really can be opened up in people's hearts in the future when we just choose to invest. I didn't go 9 years ago thinking, oh, I'm having all this plan of like, hey, the next year I go, like, God will help me start like a worship thing. And then maybe 9 years, they're going to trust me and like some things will happen and like they'll be able to see and the prophetic will start. You know, like, that wasn't my goal. I went because I felt like I wanted to do good somewhere in the world. And I was broken and I judged people so much with my heart. But I just I wanted to be used by God, but I felt so like crappy about myself. And even through that, letting them know that, letting them have a glimpse into my heart and what I've gone through, they're like, oh, okay. Maybe God can use me if he used you. You know, I don't try to present myself as like I've got it all together. But the moments that were able to come this time, I felt like God was just saying, there's more here for you. And he's going to open up more doors. Already this one guy there, he's like, hey, do you have some time to come to speak to this other youth group? They need to hear what you just said. And so he's already messaged me since I've been back. He's like, let me know when you're back. I'm serious. I want you to come. There's this other group. They need to hear what you spoke. Like, people aren't talking about that here. You know, like this stuff that's like, and it's just identity. Who are we? We're priests, we're kings, and we're children. We're priests, we have direct access to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus. We're kings, we have power and authority. You don't need somebody else. You can pray for somebody to be healed. Wilbur, for him to start to realize, oh, I can get words for God for people? Like, that's huge. And I feel like he's like, you don't have no idea what these people are going to end up doing with their lives. You know, and I'm also just in awe. You know, that I'm able to do that, that I'm able to be a part of that. And some of them would send me messages after hanging out. Some of these people I've known for a long time, they're like, thank you. Like, I feel like I was lacking so much joy and direction, and you've just ignited just this passion for Jesus again. Like, oh my gosh, like, how crazy, right? I'm not speaking to auditoriums. I'm not going there to, like, with these planned events. I'm just going and doing life, and it's amazing what is happening because of that. And I think for us, where are the moments for us to seize? Where are the times for us to say, yeah, just to pray for someone, to speak to them, to allow words to come from God's heart to people? Love you. Because I really think it's for us here. And there were moments, like, I was really tired. Like, like going there, how do I say that? Okay, so staying with Joel, I stayed with Joel. He has a large bed. Sharing a bed with him is all that I had access to, okay? And so for 3 of the weeks that I'm in Uganda, he stays up super late, right? I start to wake up when the sun comes up. He's like, you know, coming in, like the beds are super hard. Like my ribs are starting to hurt. You know, like there's like, it's not comfortable. I'm lacking sleep, but at the same time, God's giving me energy. And when I go into those moments, I just get like this like burst of like energy. And I'm like, I could stay here for like hours, like talking to these people and like loving on them. But physically, like it was draining. And like, I could have been like, oh my gosh, no, I'm just, you know, I'm too tired and focus on that. But God just like gave me that strength in those moments to look outside myself. The first time that I spoke at the rehab place, I had really bad diarrhea, and I'm going to a place where like, I don't know if they have a toilet. It might just be a hole in the ground. They did have a toilet. Sadly, it didn't flush. I don't know who had to deal with that afterwards. First, I went into one of the bathrooms. I closed the door. I get locked in. They forgot to tell me that door's broken. So my stomach is churning. I'm talking. I talked for like 2.5 hours and my stomach was fine for that amount of time. And then luckily I got home in time for things to like work their way out. But like, I didn't know, like I have toilet paper in my backpack. Like I'm going out into like places. I don't know where the next toilet is. Luckily they had a seat, but it didn't flush. And he's like, oh, I was like, sorry. I'm like, I just felt bad. I'm like, I don't, I'm not gonna say anything. We'll just see what I have to do, you know, with that. But like, for me, I often get so focused on me, especially here. You know, there my goal is to love on people, yes. But I want that here. It's not just for when I go on those trips. Like, I want to see God moving in our community and outside there, right? Like, Eugene, I love how you connect with people. Like, I really do. And I love that, like, April and her family, and that they came and that they felt safe to come to a lake day, and that you brought them to church. Like, you have that heart to just see people and be like, hey, I'm here. Like, I love that. Like, you're not afraid to just, like, open up your heart to people. And, like, the way that, like, I've seen you love on, like, Elijah and Chantel, like, after church some days, and you just be like, hey, oh, no, I'll go help you get set up here. You're not doing it for, like, the recognition. I'm just saying, like, I see it, and, like, it's amazing. Like, the hearts here are incredible, right? And I've said this before. I think we're a force to be reckoned with, right? I really do. And I don't want us just to get comfortable. And we've been talking about the prophetic being a focus, but when are you going to be sitting somewhere or be invited somewhere and God gives you a word for someone or somebody's sick? And I have told God no many times. I have. When I'm running, I feel like I get words sometimes and I wish you would stop in those moments because oftentimes I don't have a shirt on and I feel maybe I just need to start wearing a shirt and then I'll be more comfortable to go up to somebody and just like talk with them. But I've also seen people who, like, they're sick or their legs, and I'm like, what if I prayed and that person was healed? And I will move on. Like, the reason that I'm sharing that with you is I'm not seizing every opportunity, every moment. And I'm not, like, going to Uganda and, like, all of these things are happening. But I'm excited for the little things that are. And I want more of it. I really do. And he's been showing me just through this trip, me just being me. There's something that's drawing people to that. And doors are open just because of that. You being you in who God's created you to be is beautiful. And there's going to be people drawn to you that I would never have access to. Most of you guys aren't going to go to Uganda. You know what I mean? Like, he's allowed me to have access there. You're going to be going back to see your family in Ukraine. What might you have access in showing, you know, God's power there, right? You with your family, with your mom. You know what I mean? Like, what do we have to carry? What do we have to bring into the people that we have connections with? And it doesn't have to be this wild, crazy thing. You know, I'm not sitting there like screaming at people and like shaking, you know, like I just said like, hey, there's a word for you. Or like, I feel like a word for you. This other man, he's sitting there and I said to him, I believe that God is going to make you a father to people who don't have a father. And the young men are going to start looking up to you when you're out of this place. And that they're going to want your advice, and that he's going to make give you a father's heart. And if you don't know how to be a father, he's going to teach you that, right? He comes up to me, he's like, can we talk? He's been with three women, he has children with all three women, and feels disconnected with all of them. He has not known how to be a father to them. He's been messed up on alcohol much of his life. He's been a crappy father. God spoke something different. He said, I really want to make those relationships right. And I said, that's amazing. And I think God's going to do more than that. God didn't say, hey, you have been a crappy father. Right? He knows he's been a crappy father. Right? He knows he's broken his kids' hearts. He's got kids in the UK. He's got kids here. I mean, he's broken their hearts. Some of them are a lot older. He's like, I want to try. I don't know if they're going to let me back, but I want to try. God wanted him to know he sees him as a father and he's going to train him to be a father. And that's what God's going to do. He's going to come into a situation and say the other of what we believe, the truth that's there. You know, when I said that about the friend being hurt, this is heavy. It seemed more specific. He needed to know that God saw him, you know, that God heard him. God wants to speak. He wants to be allowed access to our situations. And so stepping out in those, there's a lot more that's happened throughout this, but there are relationships that are so deep and I'm staying in connection with that these young people don't have somebody pouring into them to show them something different, to show them how the Holy Spirit can access now, right? I want us to have that too. Because that's what gives me life. And I don't want it just on encounter weekends. And I don't want people to just be like, I'm so glad for that encounter that happened 5 years ago. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. But what about now? What about here? What about Sundays becoming a little bit more alive? Okay? What about people getting physically healed? What about words starting to pop off? I'm sitting here as Aaron's worshiping. I'm tired, right? I'm tired. Lake day, zap me. it did. But we are. I mean, everyone's just I know Chantel has bad sunburn now. yeah, she got it pretty bad. Eugene has nice, where he didn't get streak of red. And those relationships are important, and this is important, and doing life together is important. And we really do need each other. And that's one of the things I know Aaron spoke to some, I think, while I was gone. I don't know, I haven't talked to him. I really don't know what was said while I was gone. I loved it. I missed you guys, but I really wasn't thinking that much of you back there, and I didn't hey, what'd you talk about this Sunday? I want us to go somewhere deeper in this next season in relationships. And that takes risk. It takes vulnerability. But coming back, I was like, I love the people that are here, but I feel like a lot of the relationships are still here. And I want us to be able to go deeper and to seize those moments hey, can I pray for you about that? You know, somebody sharing something or... You know, if we get something through the week and texting or giving somebody a call, because it means more than we realize, right? I don't have a lot of people that are hitting me up throughout the week either. You know, we really all need each other. Mike did that a few times. He's like, I just feel like God had this for you. And it's exactly what I needed in that moment. And also, a lot of it just shows hey, we're being thought of. And Sundays are important because it's a really focused moment, right? We have this time to just get focused, talk, discuss things. But I want us to allow this time to look different as well. And maybe not just be totally comfortable, but to look different, to look however God wants it to look. And allow him to speak through us, and if we get things throughout the week and people to bring what's on their hearts to share or what's a burden they want to pray for. I don't know why, but I have been woken up, I'm not saying me, but like somebody like woken up like many times on this, can we just spend some time to pray for this? Like, just really on my heart. Awesome. Let's back you up on that. Looking around the room, you can do other things with this 2 hours. Lots of other things. You're choosing to be here because there's something about coming together. I can be doing other things. I could be working on my house. Like, we can be doing other things. But there is something really powerful that happens when we say yes to Him and we're intentional about allowing God to move. There is. And yes, it can be organic and happen just when I'm sitting in a living room with Joel or with my mom or with Ryan or with Kyle or with any of you guys. Yeah, and we need those moments as well. But being intentional with relationship and saying, hey, we're going to come together, we're going to pray, we're going to seek Him, I think we're going to be really surprised at what God really has in store for us. That it really is a lot more. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a big stadium, because the people I'm talking to in Uganda are not the ones that are going to those big stadiums. They're just doing life, and they're like, yeah, sometimes I make it to church, but sometimes I don't have a gig the night before. Well, we had church in the living room. So I get that. But this is important. And we have a lot of people that are connected with us that couldn't be here this weekend. But I want to get to know people better. I want to go deeper. I want to have my house to be a place where people can come. And if you're going through something, a lot of times the lie that we believe is that somebody is too busy. Somebody doesn't have the time. Or we're going to be a burden to them. Right? And so there's this lie that the enemy uses that isolates us. Though we can come in a crowd, we still feel totally alone. And I need people as well. And so going out to people, like, you and I do this with my mom, and sometimes I call her and I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry, I know I just unloaded. And I know in her head she's like, stop saying that. You know, because it's not a burden. She loves it. And if she doesn't have the time right there, hey, can I call you back and we'll talk? But intentional relationships are really, really important. And the lake day is awesome, and we need those moments, and we need, you know, times the guys getting together and the women getting together. I want this to be a place where we can bring people like the person that you're bringing, that people can come and be like, hey, there's something safe about this place, right? And we're going through things as well, but I think it's really time for us to start thinking about the people who have had no access to this whatsoever. They don't know that there's a loving God that really sees them. They might have heard that, but have they experienced it? Have they felt it on a deeper level? Because we have something to offer. We have something to give. And watching that guy's face, watching Moses' face light up, that's not just because he had a good feeling, or I just brought this, hey, this is like a happy feeling. God moved. I saw it on him. He was just like going through stuff, and things are happening. All of a sudden, boom, the Holy Spirit came, and the things that were not of God had to leave. And I don't fear that stuff, right? I'm going to end on just one more story, and then I want to pray for us. This young kid, he's 16 years old. His name is Robert. And Robert has lived in a children's home pretty much his whole life. And the woman is kind of mean that runs it. And she's had two men, and they're kind of mean. And he's just, and I asked him, I said, as we got into some discussion, have you ever felt loved? Maybe by some of my mom's friends. He calls her mom. By maybe some of my mom's friends. By maybe some of my mom's friends for 16 years of your life? That's shitty. And so talking to him, I'm like, do you believe that God's been there for you? Finally, I mean, you can tell that he's wanted to say the right thing, right? No. He wasn't when my mom put me in prison for a month and a half. He wasn't when I, you know, didn't get food to eat the night that I, you know, like, there's just all this pain. But he wants to believe that. We were able to go into kind of into this memory with Jesus being there at the jail and him hearing. I said, well, what is God saying to you? Why were you made? That's what I wanted him to think. He's like, I was made to suffer. That's what he first said. I said, oh buddy, no, you weren't. I was made to suffer so that then I can help other people. No, you suffered and it broke God's heart, but it wasn't, he didn't create you to suffer. He gives me something else and it's this negative. And I said, no. Why were you made? And finally he just sits there and listens, and he's all, to be blessed. And something just like started to break on him. And so for him to see God as a loving father, he just has not seen that. He wants, he believes in God, but he's never seen him as being there for him. Ever. In 16 years of his life. I come back and he said that his mom has come and they're starting to restore relationship, which is awesome. And I don't know his full story. Maybe he's done some things, but I was just like, in my heart, I was like, oh, come live with me. Like, you'll be my son. Like, I'll love you. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, hearing these people's stories, the honor of hearing them was immense. The weight of it, God, you've got to help these people. And him coming through, and so I made sure I got some time with him and just prayed with him and encouraged him. I said, what have you learned from the time that I've been here? That God made me for a purpose, for good. At least that's something you can hold on to, right? I want to see that in more people's lives because there's a lot of people walking around in pain. And it's not a quick fix, right? I've been walking on this journey into wholeness and stuff my whole life, but really for the last 8 years. And it's taken a long time. And still this last year, he's healed new things in my heart. I love that. He knows what I'm ready for and when I'm ready for it. God, I thank you for each person in this room and the people connected to us that aren't here. And God, I want to just invite you to do what you want with our community. God, I want this to be a safe haven where we can bring people and where we ourselves can become healed and whole. I thank you that you are a God of prophecy, and prophecy that encourages and builds up and helps people see who you've created them to be. God, who are we? Who are we that you choose to walk with us? You say that we're yours, and we receive that reality, God. And we say yes to the yes that you give us. And God, I just pray that there would be a boldness that will rise up in these next few weeks in all of our hearts to show love in a new way. And God, not just in relationship, but really for your power to come and heal wounds in people's hearts, that physical bodies and hearts, and that freedom would come, Lord. God, I don't want to just come and just learn. But God, I want to come and really experience you. And I want to come, Lord God, so that we can be built up to go love people better than we've ever been able to. So God, I just ask that you would give us vision for this season coming up. And that more and more things would take place. And that we would be intentional with the relationships that we have, Lord. God, there's a lot about you I don't know. A lot about you I don't understand. But I do thank you that you've been with us through every pain and every hurt and every joy. And God, I thank you just for the opportunities that are going to come. And the opportunities today and the opportunities we have right now to just be yours, to love each other, to allow you space. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.